This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Mraz. Today's show was unlimited with great moments, laughs, and good takes. Here is the best of today's show.
It's spring training baseball. Who really cares? Hell, if I lead the show with baseball, there are going to be some of you that say, DA, who cares? And that is representative, that is reflective of where baseball is on the national sports landscape. My backdrop is I love baseball, have loved baseball for a long time, grew up collecting baseball cards, watching baseball games on TV, totally soaking in the ALCS, NLCS, and World Series every chance that I got, reading about all the old stars of baseball. But that's not where the game is anymore. My generation, now I'm in my early 40s, I think might have been the last generation that really grew up with baseball. By the time the next generation came along, really it had been supplanted by basketball. And certainly today, Major League Baseball is so devoid of superstars and storylines that the only time we usually talk about it is in how to change it and what's wrong with it, which is why it's interesting I'm going to lead with baseball today, because yesterday there was an interesting moment. One of the most interesting players did something really interesting. Not only did Fernando Tatis, with runners juiced, deposit a grand slam into the berm. That's kind of cool, but it's only spring training. But Fernando Tatis also strutted and bat flipped. Again, spring training. Now, it's a little like a big-time end zone celebration during a preseason game or flexing to the crowd in a preseason NBA game. You usually wouldn't go there. So a bat flip in spring training is this representative of a star that's gone a little too far. He's known for his charisma, but do we really need to be flexing during spring training? It is where we begin your cold open.
The base is loaded for the first time this year. Fernando at the dish. And the first pitch to Tatis is launched to deep left field. Slam Diego has come to Arizona. And Tatis, a no-doubter, way up on the berm in left. And the Padres have themselves a five-run second inning against the Diamondbacks. Tatis' first home run of the spring. It was loud. It was emphatic. And, of course, it was a grand slam.
This should make for a nice viral tweet. Bases loaded, Tatis Jr., Caleb Smith. Don't want to put it up in 91. And he put it up and up in 91. Alrighty. Fernando. Tatis. Junior.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that audio first was the official broadcast of the Padres, voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler with the call, friend of the DA show. And then that second clip was actually a fan clip. That second clip was a video that went viral from a Twitter handle called The Welsh,
where he is in the stands with his buddy filming Fernando Tatis's at bat and then goes crazy when he drops the Grand Slam. The reason we played both of those for you were because it speaks to why Fernando Tatis might be the only talking point in baseball these days. And that when he comes to the plate, all eyes are on him, all cameras are going, and everybody in the ballpark is stopped to check him out. And that is so rare in today's Major League Baseball. So when he bat flips in a spring training game, the old heads around baseball will say, gone too far, you shouldn't bat flip anyway, now we're doing it in spring training for games that don't count, don't show up your opponent, all of those things. And I'm going to come at it in a different way. Do I think I want to see celebrations in preseason games? Not really. No, not really. Don't really think that I need to see huge touchdown celebrations or flexing to the crowd or bat flips for preseason meaningless exhibition games. Not really. But you have to take Fernando Tatis for who he is all of the time. And who he is all of the time is this, a showman. He brings electricity and excitement to the park. He makes people watch. And when I look at baseball, this game doesn't have those guys. It's crazy, but they don't. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. He certainly is not going to bat flip. And that part's okay. But he is so anonymous, he is so vanilla, that most baseball fans have to go out of their way to try to appreciate him, and casual fans have no idea who he is. Bryce Harper has the flair, but Bryce Harper is not this interesting, let's face it, because he's not as dominant as Fernando Tatis. And he's certainly not been quite the alpha of baseball for a couple of years. The sport just doesn't have those guys. Aaron Judge is one of those guys. He plays for the Yankees. He's huge. He hits long, towering home runs. He's number 99. That is very identifiable, but his game is very quiet as well, and there is a place for that. But in terms of personality that young people might be drawn to, let's face it, only Tatis really brings that to the table in terms of starting pitchers. I mean, forget Trevor Bauer. He's a blip on the national radar. Clayton Kershaw has a big name. Max Scherzer has a great game. But those guys don't resonate with fans across all spectrums. You kind of need Tatis. You really do. And I thought about when I saw Tatis bat flip yesterday, Kevin Mather, the CEO of the Seattle Mariners, who had to resign, was fired in a disgraceful performance with that Rotary Club in Seattle. And the reason I thought about this was that Kevin Mather, he had vocalized a lot of the things that are so representative of how baseball can't get out of its own way because of old thinking. You have Kevin Mather, who's running the Mariners, who is publicly annoyed and trashing his own players for not speaking better English, for needing a translator. Now, this is his own players. And I thought to myself, not only is it bad business, you're trying to sell your product to your fans. So making them angry at your own players is so stupid. But secondarily, it's just dumb to resent your own product. Not only your own players physically, I mean, literally he's talking about Seattle Mariners players that he resents, but the players around the league in general. You know, when you hear that, you also don't want to go the extra mile to embrace those players sometimes. And for baseball's old heads that run the game, that think this way, it definitely permeates throughout the game. They might resent the celebrity or the money of the players, and thus they don't want those players to get any more shine. Whereas, let's go into the NBA. Could you ever imagine an NBA general manager resenting publicly that he has to help an NBA player from, let's say, Europe or let's say the let's say it's a Chinese player. Let's say it's a player from Africa. Imagine him resenting that that player can't get up to speed on English fast enough. It would never happen, ever. They would be constantly trying to make sure that player was comfortable and happy so that they got a great player out of it, and not resenting that the player wasn't something more culturally. And it's because the NBA recognizes, hey, the player is our commodity. The more we support that player, the better business it's going to be. Which is why Joel Embiid or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Luka Doncic don't have to have been born here, and their English doesn't have to be great, and yet the NBA capitalizes on their celebrity. Whereas in baseball, there's this kind of tug of war where the baseball old heads don't want to see the young guys get great and famous and popular, which is why I think we need the Fernando Tatis dynamic. And I can't even say the Fernando Tatises of the world because there might not be another one. But we need Tatis to bat flip in spring training because he might be the only thing interesting about baseball these days. So for everybody today that's going to bellyache about going too far in spring training, think about it the other way. You need somebody to care about spring training.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, it's kind of like last year when Tatis is getting slammed by some of the old guard in baseball for having swung on a 3-0 pitch with the bases loaded and you're already up by number of runs. Oh, you're pouring it on. That goes against the unwritten rules of the game. And I think what you have is so obvious. The old guard that wanted to do it a certain way, holding back young people in the sport from doing it their way. And that's just not going to work for baseball. And it is, to me, one of, if not the biggest reason baseball has fallen so far behind the NFL and the NBA. The NFL and the NBA said, okay, we will support the players' personalities. We will support the new way players want to play this game. We will support them knowing that they are the box office win. They are the business here. We'll go there. I mean, the NFL has gone to great lengths to create celebrity players these days. The NBA figured this formula out a long time ago. Baseball won't go there. They won't go there. And the NHL's culture also is very specifically no I before team. Don't put yourself before the rest of the team. And I think the sport themselves, hockey's more niche, baseball's more slow, has also factored in. But both those leagues have been resistant in empowering the players. And thus, for baseball specifically, lesser hockey, because hockey was never the number one sport. But you don't have to go back very far to when baseball was an it commodity, and it isn't anymore. And I think it's because baseball didn't change with that time.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Remember that the DA show is available in podcast form. If you want to hear something again, DA on demand, or you may have missed the show, or you just want a bite-sized version of the show, the very best of, that's all available on our podcast feed, plus the PGP, the show about the show. So on your favorite podcast platform, just search the DA show, and you'll get all of that in your feed. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the podcast. We start with Zach Greinke, longtime starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, and why he would hate if both leagues adopted the DH.
The only milestone I pay attention to is I wanted to get 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases, and then I got traded to the American League, made it way harder for that to happen. And then I got caught stealing for the first time ever, when I was in Houston because I was so wanted to steal so bad because I knew it might be my last chance to get 10 stolen bases, and then I got caught because I wanted it too much. But yeah, that's my only goal, I guess, the 10 home runs, 10 stolen bases, and it's going to be really hard for me to do now.
Happy to be here, Houston.
Zach Greinke is a member of the Houston Astros, and so if the DH came to both leagues, he is saying he wouldn't have a chance to hit in the National League. He wants to hit a 10th home run and steal a 10th base. And Greinke is just amazing. I used to interview Greinke regularly when he was a member of the Royals growing up, and he was such a young pitcher of the organization back then when I was working in Kansas City. But every single spring training, I would look forward to one long sit-down session with Zach, and I would ask him about everything but baseball. No baseball, just crazy things. And he actually should be a person that Mraz buys the jersey of and loves very dearly, because this was 14 years ago or so, and he told me that he would eat Chipotle every single day during spring training, and that was the only thing that he would eat, and he would give me the order step by step and secrets of Chipotle. Mraz, I don't even think that you know this part of my interviews with Zach Greinke, but they became kind of viral sensations back then. In fact, Deadspin carried the interview once, and it was all about how Zach Greinke loved Chipotle and was very broken up about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt no longer being together. So you really should love Zach Greinke.
I do love it, DA, and this is where your old memory comes into play. We've actually played those back a couple of times on the DA show, so I'm very aware of the Chipotle stuff and why I love him even more. He's kept Chipotle afloat all these years.
Now, I'm looking at his batting totals in on Baseball Reference. And if I'm reading these right, he's got 9 home runs for his career. 9 home runs. And he's got 9 stolen bases right now. So he's sitting on the tip of these right now. But he's playing in the American League. So he would still have to, after 17 seasons, get back to the National League before they adopt the DH to do this. And that would mean that he rounds out his career in Houston, I guess, and he's already planning on signing in the NL. Do you think that's the case?
Well, or he just really knows it's so minimalized that he's only going to have, what, maybe 2 or 3 chances this year to play in the National League ballpark where they do this?
Right.
I mean, I don't think that they've made that universal. I think we're going back to the old rule, right? So that the pitcher's got to hit, so he's only going to have a couple of those opportunities this year to do that.
Right. So his only chances now would be at NL ballparks during Interleague. Okay, well, keep an eye on that.
Well,
this is what
DA, you have the Tatis bat flip. Maybe now we have something else for a draw. Let's watch Greinke in an NL ballpark go for the homer and stolen base.
All eyes on Zach Greinke. There's like a runner on third, one out. They're like, Greinke, just get the bunt down. Just get the bunt down. Zach, just get the bunt down. He's like, no way, I'm swinging for the fences. Here's J.J. Watt, who was talking about his decision in choosing the Arizona Cardinals as his free agent destination.
You've got guys like Chandler Jones and Buda Baker and guys all over that defense that are really young, excited guys, ready to get after, ready to fly around and make some plays. So I'm just very excited to be here, and I'm also not going to lie to you, it doesn't hurt when it's 65 degrees and sunny outside when I woke up this morning, so it's pretty nice.
It is. Look, that is the siren song of Arizona and Florida during spring training. You fly out of your cold weather environment from the Northeast, the upper Midwest, all parts of the North across the country. And then you fly down there. You're like, oh, right. This is awesome. Why aren't I living here? This is so stupid. So I get J.J. Watt being attracted and drawn to that. I will say that it's a bit of a reach that he is going to win a Super Bowl, in my estimation, in Arizona. But hey, that doesn't have to be his number one priority. I heard his press conference, and you know what I heard from JJ yesterday was there was a lot of decisions that the Cardinals were a good fit. And that's fine. But the number one wasn't necessarily just winning, that there were other places he could have gone to win. But he said the GM rolled out the red carpet, and he had
he was kind of recruited by the entire organization. People behind the scenes also reached out to him. His whole trip there was great from the people behind the scenes, which says a lot about the Cardinals organization. That's great. He also wanted to reunite with DeAndre Hopkins. That's cool, too. Vance Joseph is there running a very similar defense to the defense that he had success with at Houston. That's cool, too. The weather was great. That's cool, too. I get it. But what you realized, I thought, listening to that was it wasn't just about where to ring. It was about a lot of different fits. And that's fine. But I think that people thinking that he was just about chasing a championship had to realize after his quotes yesterday that wasn't the only thing for J.J. Watt. And I don't blame him. He wanted to be happy. After the years in Houston, very clearly it had sapped his enthusiasm. And all of these people made him happy. And again, that's great. That's different, though, than just going to a place that gives you your best chance to winning a championship. And J.J. may be happy without winning a championship. Sounds like there's a lot of different things other than winning that factored into this decision. I mean, if weather is a good part of your decision-making, well, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Cleveland, Green Bay, they lose that battle pretty quickly. If you're flying up there in February or early March for a free agent decision, you're waking up in Phoenix and it's 65 in the morning and it's going to get to 78 during the day, or you wake up in Green Bay, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, etc., and it's snowing and it's 20 degrees. And finally, here's Dan Campbell. His press conference when he was introduced as the new head coach of the Lions was all about getting aggressive, biting people's kneecaps, and never saying die. Well, he joined Tiki and Tierney yesterday on the show to explain exactly what he meant here at CBS Sports Radio.
Listen, for all the listeners here that think that I don't understand that if you bite a kneecap, that's a personal foul, believe me, I know that. All right, 100%. And so I know that we really won't be biting kneecaps off, or we'll have plenty of penalty yards. But there again, it was meant for this community, for this area. I didn't think of it at the time, but I really wasn't worried about what the outside world kind of thought about it. It was really for our community and our players.
Well, I think there's two things that I think about when Dan Campbell tries to explain this, and he's used this line of thinking before in explaining why he said this. Number one, I resonate with what he's trying to do. I understand this. When you are a Lions fan and you are a Lions organization that has been a punchline for many, many years, what you're trying to indoctrinate into the thinking is we're not losers. We're going to fight and we will embrace being the underdog and realize that, hey, we might have to fight dirty sometimes, but we're going to fight. We don't care how it gets done, but we are going to fight. And the metaphor here is we're kind of the little brother on the playground, and we're never going to just put our tail between our legs and walk home. And that I understand, because you are trying to change a thinking of a city and an organization. I get it. The biting of the kneecap, though, you have to understand why that specifically is a headline. It's because nobody has ever thought about, wow, if I get into a bad situation, I better be ready to bite the guy's kneecap. Like, you might have thought about this in the past. Okay, if I get mugged, what do I do? If I'm in a bad situation, I get into a bar fight, what do I do? You know, you might be thinking, like, I should have some mace on me, or I should make sure I know a little bit of jiu-jitsu, or I should know, like, a little bit of a leg sweep or a karate hold or something like this. This happens all the time. You know, people always are preparing, watching a video on YouTube, taking a karate class, something like that, getting some mace. Okay, what do I do if I'm in a bad situation? Nobody ever says, I might have to bite his kneecap. That feels like a really bad place to bite. I should know. I've got these pearly whites. You know, you bite flesh. You bite soft areas. You bite vulnerable areas. Biting a kneecap is bad for the biter, not the bitee. It's like, we better be ready to bite this guy's skull. No, I don't want to bite the guy's skull. You know, bite like the meaty part of the bicep. Bite like the soft solar plexus, okay? Bite something that you don't get hurt biting.
biting kneecaps is bad for the biter. It's not bad for the bitee. And so when you hear this, you're like, well, what? It's a bite kneecaps. Why would he want to bite the kneecap? That won't work. Plus, biting below the belt is a rough look. It really is. You know, if you're going to bite, which everybody has always been like, hey, that's kind of fighting dirty. If you're going to biting below the belt, you're looking for trouble. You can get kicked. There's a lot of hard bone there, like the ankle and the knee. And then, you know, if you slip up and you miss the knee and you go head first into the crotch area, now what are you biting? I think that really is the concern when Dan Campbell's talking about biting kneecaps. That's your sound check. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. If Dan Campbell, who was a former Giant, Mraz, a former Giants tight end, if he takes over as head coach and he's like, yeah, man, we're going to bite kneecaps. What are you thinking? Are you like, oh, yeah, that's the emotion I want in my head coach? Are you thinking that guy didn't know how to fight?
No, I think there's a certain line where you get really fiery and really ridiculous where you can't even take the guy seriously. And when you mentioned biting kneecaps, ironically, to play off yesterday's segment, not a lot of meat on the bone. No. I think then you just laugh at the message. So I actually think that the message gets lost because nobody can take you seriously because, of course, nobody would bite a kneecap. If you wanted to say we're going to rip their arms off, then maybe you get really fiery, passionate, pump your chest out. When you say something that's so ridiculous in a part of the body that even somebody with the weirdest fetish wouldn't bite, I think then the message gets lost in translation.
And for better or worse, this is now Dan Campbell's bio. Like, the first line on Dan Campbell's bio is he's the guy that said bite kneecaps. He will always be that guy. Jim Tom Sewell is the fart guy, and Dan Campbell is the bite kneecaps guy. That's just going to be what follows him for the rest of his career, whether he wins or loses. And let's face it, if he loses, that's going to be the punchline about Dan Campbell forever.
Yeah, I mean, we had the peace sign in the Super Bowl from Winfield to Tyreek Hill. I wonder if the Lions lose a big game if we're just going to have people fake biting their own knees as they walk off the field beating the Lions. That could be the rallying cry.
You know, you take the guy's leg kind of like a corn on the cob from left to right, right down to the kneecap.
What are you doing?
Standing by with our headline this morning, and to add some civility to the proceedings, is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Yeah, we have stepped into a weird place that I don't want to follow you to. This is a lot of weird biting thoughts and breakdown and dangers of your face sliding to someplace you don't want to bite.
Well,
I mean, what has happened to you in the past,
EA? It's a terrible fight tactic. I mean, I've watched enough MMA to know. No matter what, you're not biting the kneecap. You're looking for this hold and that choke and this move. You're not looking to bite kneecaps. It's a bad tactical decision.
You could bite the back of a knee. I think that would work.
Yeah, it might be tough, but yeah, it's far meatier. I mean, let's face it.
Get a little meniscus in your mouth.
If you get a bag of wings, the last thing you want is the kneecap. Tasty chicken kneecap. So why Dan Campbell wants a bite there, I don't get it.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
The chump, the champ this morning, rather, is my friend Jeremy Kahn, because Jeremy was so close to Little Mo throughout his life and certainly at the end as well. And Jeremy has spearheaded Little Mo talking bobbleheads. It is so awesome. He has spearheaded the production, the design of all of these bobbleheads, and they are, as you might imagine, unbelievably popular right now in the Baltimore area. Now, coming up in a few weekends, they're going to be for sale in the Baltimore area, and he is helping
with raising money with the sale of them to go to the John Hopkins Children's Center, where Little Mo spent so much time and really got to know and become close to so much of the staff there, the nurses, the doctors, etc. And Jeremy's just one of these really salt-of-the-earth guys that I've had the great pleasure of getting to know. And I just love the fact that there is somebody like Jeremy who is continuing to keep the spirit of Mo alive. I mean, that's obviously what I try to do as well, because Mo taught me so many lessons. And I think that there's such worthy lessons for the entire world to understand and to absorb that I'm going to keep waving the flag. But it takes a lot of work to do these types of things, as you might imagine. To work with a company, to design the bobblehead, to get the audio and choose the audio of how it will talk and what it will say, and to work on the packaging and then work on the delivery of it and work on where you're going to buy it and how the money's going to get there and all these things. And Jeremy's a full-time host in Baltimore, you know, on their 105.7 Sports Radio, the Fan station down there. And he does a ton of other things, but he has always allocated time and space and energy to Mo simply because he believes in the message and he was so touched by what Mo was and who he was. And so I just resonate with that and I appreciate that. And I know you know how I feel when you run across somebody who's doing a great thing for a charity, in the community, for a family and society, and you just go, man, I'm glad somebody's doing that. You know, I'm so thankful somebody is doing that, that there's somebody fighting that fight, because we all can't fight every fight. We can't all support everybody that needs support. You just need people to do those things. And that's how I feel about Jeremy. I'm just so happy he's behind all of this. And so I'm not saying this because I don't know if you can get one of these talking bobbleheads. I don't know if I can get one of these talking bobbleheads. Everybody wants one in Baltimore. But the fact is, he's put this together to raise money for the John Hopkins Children's Center, and that to me is such a great cause in honor of Mo and to keep Mo's spirit alive. So Jeremy, today is my champ.
That's DA's champ.
My chump is Johnny Manziel, and not because I judge Johnny Manziel's life away from football in terms of not wanting to be a football player. That wasn't what drove him. It wasn't his passion. That's fine. He's now playing in this fan-controlled league. That's fine. I'm not going to say that's any type of judgment on his character. It's making a buck. We can all look to make a buck different ways. He says he wants to be a golfer long-term. He's going to give himself 10 to 12 years to try to become a PGA Tour golfer. That's a fine endeavor as well. My issue with Johnny is that not long ago, he was asked, what is he doing nowadays? And he said nothing. He's really not doing anything. And that, to me, is a problem. Because the man is 28 years old. He's not 22 or 23 anymore. He's not a college kid anymore. You're 28. You've got to figure out a way to be productive. You can't just, to me, sit through every day, play video games, hang out with your friends, drink and do drugs or whatever, and just hang. That is not a worthy life. That is not a worthy cause. That is not a worthy purpose. And I realize it takes people a long time to find a purpose sometimes in life. I get that. I am understanding of that. You might not find your purpose until you're middle-aged, maybe until you're elderly. I understand that. Not everybody finds their purpose. But at 28, you can't just sit around and do nothing and every so often play in like a scrimmage football game and just kind of work on your golf game because maybe in 10 years you want to become a PGA Tour golfer. Like, you got to find something. Get up. Take a shower, put on clothes, and go do something productive. Get a job. I mean, I hate to sell you the old guy on the porch, but you're 28. Get a job. Find something. And if you just say, like, I'm not doing anything because nothing excites me, look harder. Look harder for something that does excite you. You've got the benefit of time. You've got the benefit, obviously, of resources, wealth. You come from a wealthy family. You made some money in your NFL career. I don't know if that's still around. Hopefully you invested it well, but clearly you've got some means to just not have to do anything. Imagine being 28 years old and just not having to do anything. You got to find something to do. Find a purpose. Find a direction, because that's the worst message out there, that you could be nearly 30 years old and I don't do anything. because I've got enough money not to do anything. So I just don't do anything besides hang out with my buds and play video games. All right. All right. But just, I'm glad you're not being self-destructive seemingly, but find something, Johnny. That's the chump. Our next guest is head coach of the best team in the Big South, looking to take home the automatic bid for this conference to get into the NCAA tournament. They had an enormously long winning streak earlier in the season. They've only lost once all year, 21-1, and they're looking to dance. Joining us here on the show, head coach of the Winthrop Eagles for Mid-Major Mothership.
It's DA's Mid-Major Mothership, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Next up tomorrow night, Winthrop is going to take on Longwood in the Big South Tournament. Joining us, head coach Pat Kelsey. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
DA, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Pleasure's all ours here. We're excited to have you on. We've been following Winthrop basketball because we are close friends with Dave Friedman, the voice of your program. And so we've been talking some Winthrop Eagles basketball for the last couple of weeks. And you guys have had such an amazing season through a lot of adversity. Let's go back to last year. You win the Big South tournament, and there is no NCAA tournament. How crushing was that to know you had reached the summit, and yet you couldn't capitalize by playing in March Madness?
Yeah, I think it was a blessing and a curse. You know, we were able to cut down nets and win a championship and storm the floor before social distancing came into effect and mask and, you know, and crowd surfing, and we were jubilation, and that's priceless, and that's an experience and a moment we'll never forget. But obviously the gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching cancellation of the NCAA tournament a few days later, it was tough, especially on our seniors that weren't going to be able to take part in the NCAA, the greatest spectacle in American sports outside the Super Bowl. But, you know, the majority of our team returned, and really we used, you know, that event, that adversity as a motivating factor throughout the offseason to get us back to the point we are right now with an opportunity and a chance over the next several days to earn a berth to play in the national tournament.
It was understandable last year when the plug was pulled on the NCAA tournament, but my heart broke for you guys. My heart broke for all of the teams out there that had this chance in front of them and that it was taken away. Some surprise Cinderellas that would not be back for that seeding or that opportunity. How did you watch your players handle this? As you said, the seniors, did they handle this well? Did they handle this difficultly? How was it?
No, they were crushed. There's no question about it. And I just, you know, I posted on Twitter a year ago or so, shortly after that announcement. You know, Josh Ferguson, who was a very decorated player here, who's now playing professionally overseas in Europe, one of the finest young men I ever coached. And, you know, I delivered the news to him. I called him first when I heard, and it was just dead silence on the phone, and you could just hear him being emotional. And it wasn't 25 minutes later, I walked past the study hall lab here in the athletic department in the Coliseum, and Josh is in there, you know, working on a sociology paper. And, you know, just really paints a picture as to the student-athlete experience, you know. And Coach Prosser, Skip Prosser, my mentor, used to say all the time that sports and basketball is a microcosm of life. And, you know, the responsibilities that these kids have are significant, but, you know, the things that they're afforded in terms of playing on national television and wearing cool gear all the time and those type things are great. But within moments of his dreams being dashed, he's right back in the study hall lab working on his paper. And I thought that was a pretty heavy moment. And, you know, Josh texted me the other day how proud he was watching from afar of these guys and this run that we're on right now. And we're not finished. We have a lot of work to do. You know, Hunter Hale and Josh Ferguson, last year seniors, are as much a part of this special journey as the guys that are in uniform right now.
It is why I think this NCAA tournament is so rich with context, is that there are so many players that are getting their shot again because so many players did not get their shot last year. And so all of those stories come to the surface here with the NCAA tournament. Winthrop's head coach, Pat Kelsey, joining us on the show. Winthrop meant a lot to you. The first time you guys made the tournament under your leadership back in 2017, you were off of the job at UMass. You decided to come back to Winthrop. What was it about this Eagles job that drew you to come back and say, this is where I want to be right now?
You know, Winthrop's a special place. There's a phenomenal tradition, first of all, here from a basketball standpoint. One of the most decorated mid-major programs in the entire country. A lot of coaches and special players have come before me and my staff to make the name Winthrop on the chest of our jerseys mean something really special. But this is a special university as well. It's a place, obviously, you know, it's not my alma mater. I went to Xavier in Cincinnati, but this has become home to me. And I'm very, very lucky to be the head coach at a prestigious university with a great basketball tradition. And above all that, my family loves living in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is a community that we've adopted as our home, and the people here have been phenomenal to us. I think it's one of the best places in the world to raise a family. And I know one thing, I'm very, very lucky to be here and fortunate and excited to do something special, hopefully, for Winthrop here over the next month.
One of the crazy things about your regular season has been time and place of the games. You would play in the middle of the afternoon. You would play a series of two-game series. And so you would play the same opponent back-to-back to make sure you guys got all of the games in. And still, some were postponed and some were canceled. What about the challenges of playing this kind of really up-and-down season where you're just hoping to get as many games played as possible, but under some dire situations?
Yeah, from the moment last year when the NCAA tournament was canceled and the ceilings start falling on the entire world, that was kind of our thing. You know, we were going to rally around uncertainty and adversity and try our best to handle it as well or better than any program in the country. There isn't a scoreboard that says who is and isn't. But, you know, we like to think that we're doing it pretty well. The only thing we told our guys to expect is the unexpected. And, you know, there's an old formula, and there's a formula we use. It's called E plus R equals O. And E is just events and circumstances that you can't do anything about. The O is the outcome, what we hope to achieve, you know. But you can't guarantee that either. All you can do anything about is the R, and that's the responses to what happens. And we've really focused on that amidst this very, very unique and different year, whether it's cancellations of games, goofy game times, as you mentioned, playing the same team, not only back-to-back. We just played our opponent back-to-back-to-back because we played them the last series of the season in High Point, coached by legendary Hall of Famer Tubby Smith, and then we played them in the first round of the tournament. How many times in college basketball history have you played the same opponent three times in a row? So those things just continue to happen in this crazy COVID year, 2020-2021.
And yet you guys had soared. I mean, you were undefeated up until late January. You were 16-0, 13-0 in the conference. You were getting looks for the top 25 votes. And then you finally were handed your only loss of the season on one of those back-to-backs with UNC Asheville. This was a huge moment for them. They won 57-55. Is there any part of you that was kind of relieved? A little pressure might have been taken out of the balloon with a loss.
You know, that's what everybody said, D.A. Hey, this might be a blessing. It sure doesn't feel like it at the time. You know, I don't care if we're undefeated or what our record is. If you're a competitor, you want to win every time you lace those sneakers up. But again, it was just it was a dose of adversity that we were forced to deal with. You know, I told him, Coach Prosser used to say thump thump thump. That's the sound of people jumping on and off the bandwagon. Like when we were 18-0 or whatever the heck it was, and from a national standpoint, everybody was talking about that. And then you lose one, and they stop talking about you as much nationally. I said, those are things you can't worry about. All we can handle or worry about is how we respond to this, and that means the next lifting session, the next film session, the next practice session. Let's be elite at the first repetition because that's what we can control. And we're going to continue to have that mentality moving forward.
You know, I wonder about this tournament coming up. If you guys do get the automatic qualifying bid out of the conference and you get into March Madness, it has felt the last 2 years specifically like the tournament has become really wide open. Now, there's a lot of things moving parts of the NCAA tournament and the NCAA's college basketball sphere in general. But do you feel like being at a mid-major gives you an opportunity in 2020, 2021, and now this window we're in to do more damage to the tournament than maybe could have been expected a couple of years ago?
You know, I think, first of all, let me qualify this by saying I'm speaking in generalities about mid-majors in general, because we got a whole lot of work to do, DA, before we can start talking about, you know, our journey in the NCAA tournament. We have a very, very tough opponent on Thursday. And if we're lucky enough, blessed enough to get past this, we're going to have another really, really tough game on Championship Sunday to be able to punch that ticket. That's way off in the future to me. All we're worrying about is the next task at hand. But having said that, I agree with you. You know, I think it's different than it was maybe 20 years ago when, you know, the elite college basketball players, the majority of them were staying 3 and 4 years. And whether it's the Blue Bloods or Power Fives, you know, not only did they have top-level talent, but they had top-level talent that has matured and developed and become upperclassmen-laden type teams. And you see more and more, you know, in this day and age, and you look at, use us as an example, Winthrop, we have a very veteran team, senior, junior-laden, and even our sophomores, I would consider them to have a maturity about them that is other level. And trust me, as a coach, you sleep better at night knowing, especially when your backcourt is juniors and seniors. I mean, Chandler Waldron is one of the best point guards in the country, leads the country in triple doubles. Coach Prosser used to say, you give a guy like that the ball at 7 at night, he gives it back to you safe and sound at 9. An extension of the coaching staff, you know. And I like to think when the lights are the brightest and the moments are the biggest, when you have those battle-tested, older, veteran guys, that can play into your favor and be an advantage, obviously.
Has to be. Plus, Loyola Chicago proves you can get to the Final Four out of the Missouri Valley in recent years. We saw a 7 seed in South Carolina make the Final Four the year before that, a 10 seed in Syracuse make the Final Four the year before that. So it does feel like things have opened up. Now, I got to ask you this. You're play-by-play man. Dave Freeman has been there for a decade and a half. He's a beloved member of the Winthrop community. He's a friend of mine, and he's a big part of the show. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he has been dropping little Easter eggs during broadcast slogans that we use here on the show. I want you to hear some highlights from Dave Freeman on your airwaves. Let's play this.
Zunick, left side, Baldwin. Thought about a 4-3 today. Instead goes inside, Claxton. Slam dunk! If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more. 78-63 Eagles. Winthrop is going to win a 20th consecutive game.
Burns turns, fires up with a left hand, scores off the window. Have fun with your marriage. Another bucket for DJ Burns. He's got 20.
Coach, are you aware that during basketball games, your play-by-play man is saying, have fun with your marriage, and if you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more?
Well, Dave is somebody that I refer to as affectionately as a complex carbohydrate. He marches to the beat of a different drummer, but I love him. And you know what? You can hear that and see it. I think anybody in life that's good at what they do is passionate about what they do. And Dave definitely has a face for radio, I will say that. But I'm telling you right now, that dude is like, I think we're similar in that we both make coffee nervous. But he's an extremely high-energy guy. His partner, Mike Pacheco, same thing. They are unbelievably prepared and just love what they do. And I love being around guys that are passionate about what they do.
I get to see Dave every year. We go to Saratoga and check out some of the racehorses. He's a huge racing fan, and I'll never forget when I asked him what type of cheese he was eating, and he launched into like a 15-minute soliloquy about the type of cheese, where it was made, the best cheeses to pair with whatever. I said, boy, this is the entire Dave Freeman experience. I just got 15 minutes on Gouda.
Most, some of the most useless knowledge is crammed between the ears of that lad right there. I can tell you that.
Are you aware he just orders by the bushel apples every single year and stuffs his entire fridge worth of apples, and he eats like 5 to 7 apples a day?
Again, I'll go back to the complex carbohydrate quote. That sounds right, par for the course.
Next up for the number one seeded Winthrop Eagles in their Big South tournament is Longwood tomorrow night. That game is on ESPN Plus. That's the semifinals of the conference tournament. After that, Sunday, the championship game is on ESPN. Head coach Pat Kelsey joining us from the Winthrop Eagles trying to dance into the NCAA tournament. Coach, congratulations on a wonderful year already. Best of luck in the rest of this tournament, man, and hopefully we see you in March Madness.
DA, thanks so much for having me on. Rock the Hill.
My pleasure. Pat Kelsey joining us this morning, head coach of the Winthrop Eagles. Super Dave, a complex carbohydrate, according to Pat Kelsey. Keep making them tacos. Keep making them tacos. Of course, tomorrow night we will have another Winthrop game, and if Super Dave drops another Super Dave-ism, DA show-ism during the broadcast, we will play that for you on Friday morning. And look, All good thoughts to Longwood, but we need Winthrop to win this game. And all good thoughts to the championship game of the Big South, we need Winthrop to win that game. Because we need Winthrop in the NCAA tournament, because we need Dave Friedman, Super Dave, giving us the DA show drops in the field of 68.
The mothership disconnects.
And just remember, Coach Kelsey, have fun with your marriage.
Have fun with your marriage.
DA, good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Whenever you guys are ready, feel free to apologize to Brad Stevens.
Kemba, catch and shoot, straight away three, got another one. Clippers got to figure this out. Paul George getting frustrated that Kemba keeps losing them in coverage.
Sean Randy on Celtics Radio, the Clippers never did figure things out last night, so Stevens and Boston won their third in a row, 117-112. Please disregard the fact that Kawhi Leonard did not play last night. Celtics are back over 500, up to fourth in the East. The Suns jumped the Lakers for number two in the West for the moment with a 114-104 win at Staples, and they did that despite Devin Booker getting tossed mid-third quarter. LeBron scored 38, now gets tonight in Sacramento off. The Nuggets strolled through Milwaukee last night, 128-97. That's the Bucks' worst loss of the season. The Hawks snapped the Heat's six-game win streak, 94-80. The Grizzlies a 125-111 win in Washington, and the Spurs snapped the Knicks' three-game run, 119-93. College Hoops, number two Michigan, blown out at home by number four Illinois, 76-53. Number three Baylor, a 94-89 OT win at number six West Virginia. And number 12 Arkansas dumped South Carolina, 101-73. That is 10 straight SEC wins for the Razorbacks. The Blue Jays won the George Springer sweepstakes this winter. They had him on the field yesterday for his spring training debut. Springer admits it was weird in a non-Astros jersey.
It was a little weird, just because I've been so accustomed, you know, to the same thing for basically my whole career. But it's a new opportunity. I'm excited about it, and I had a lot of fun out there today.
Springer hit leadoff yesterday, singled on the second pitch he saw. His Jays eventually beat the Phillies 4-2. Elsewhere in Florida,
Yoenis had a pretty good night last night.
Region Yoenis Cespedes worked out for about 12 teams yesterday. The Padres, Brewers, Rays, White Sox among those in attendance. Cespedes apparently hit well enough to maybe be considered for somebody's DH role, but did look slow as expected in the outfield. He hasn't played regularly since May of 2018. He opted out after 8 games with the Mets last summer.
I mean, look, Bogues, if Yoenis Cespedes comes back, has 2 heels, 2 ankles, 2 legs, and hits 25 home runs, I'm going to be irate. Absolutely irate. This bum took all of the money. I mean, all of the money, and then smoked and ate and drank himself right out of the league and then goes hunting for what, wild boar on a some type of range or some type of ranch, steps in a hole, busts his heel, does it again, busts two heels, falls off a horse or something like that, and hasn't played in 3 years. And now he looks good. He looks good. I don't want to hear he looks good. I want to hear that he looks like he's 85 years old and needs a cane.
Yeah, you might have a kneecap or two to bite, because if he could hit some homers, somebody might want to give him some dollars to be on their roster. But that's, I think we're still a ways away from that. But you need to get to a place where don't waste your energy on him, because he didn't waste any energy on us after that first year or so as a Met. So don't return the favor. Don't let him bother you. Hope that he never gets back on the field. That's fine. But don't, if he does, don't sweat it. You've got bigger things to worry
about. It's just crazy that for 3 years he was never healthy enough to be on a field. Can't do it, it's the knee. Can't do it, it's the ankle. Can't do it, it's the heel. Can't do it, it's the foot. He was never healthy enough to actually be on a baseball field for 3 years. And the moment he's no longer getting paid by the Mets, he's healthy enough to be on a baseball field having a workout.
Yeah, at least a workout. I don't know if he could do it again today. That might be the issue. Those wheels might fall off. They asked him to do it again today. Back-to-back days might be asking a little too much of Yo right now. The Dolphins are trying to trade linebacker Kyle Van Noy. If they can't, they'll release him. The Vikings have released tight end Kyle Rudolph, and the Jets cut loose defensive end Henry Anderson. That raises their salary cap space to $75 million. And on ice last night, Tampa Bay, a 2-0 win in Dallas. Montreal beat Ottawa 3-1 to end a 5-game slide. And now, we stunned.
All right.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, this one is for you. Although I hope that you and Rosie never actually go down this path of heartbreak. But a lovely man named Charles has his brown tabby named Brandy back after 15 years apart. Charles, who did not want his last name revealed, adopted the cat when she was a 2-month-old kitten back in 2005. A few months later, Brandy disappeared from the yard. They searched, they went to shelters, they hung up signs, but they never found her. They were afraid that maybe she had been hit by a car, attacked by a coyote, suffered some kind of terrible end. Fast forward to now, Brandy found over the weekend, about 40 miles away from Charles's house, again, this is all in the LA area, someone finally decided to scan the cat for one of those microchips, which she had. Now, the extra good fortune is Charles has since moved and changed his home number, but his cell still the same from when he got the microchip. So the LA County Animal Shelter able to find him and give Brandy back to him after 15 years. Now, she was a little thin, had overgrown nails, so maybe recently she had been on her own. The only bad news here is that Charles has two young cats in his house right now, and I don't know the cat dynamic well enough, but I guess adding Brandy to that mix is not a good idea. So she's going to stay with his sister, with her aunt, and then Charles will visit her whenever the need arises. So it's almost a full reunion with 15 years apart for this cat and this guy, Chuck.
That's incredible. 15 years. What were we doing in March of 2006? 15 years ago. We were coming off the Steelers beating the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That was a Bill Cowher, Mike Holmgren Super Bowl. A month after that Super Bowl, Brandy the cat was lost. This is an incredible story. Wow. Now, I got to wonder. Her microchip wasn't scanned for 15 years. I would imagine that means one of two things. Either she was adopted, just brought in to a house by somebody else and living for the last 15 years with somebody else. They didn't have any interest in seeing where she was from. But that's kind of a bad job by them, not bringing them to the shelter to see if that cat's lost. Or number two, Brandy was living on the streets on her own for 15 years, which is really insane. I can't imagine the life expectancy of cats, stray cats, is all that high. And this guy said that she was pretty malnourished when they got her, that she was pretty skinny. So could you imagine if Brandy survived 15 years on the streets before she was picked up and scanned? That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't survive maybe 15 days on the streets by myself. If this cat did 15 years, super impressive.
I would just be crushed if Rosie the cat, I was separated from her for 15 years. Absolutely crushed. But at the back end of that, what a great story. This guy was like, this has got to be a joke. The microchip's got to be wrong. This can't be my cat 15 years later. And sure enough, he goes to the shelter, and there it is, Brandy the cat. So what a great end to this story. But that is kind of a bummer that Brandy can't live with the owner because of the two young cats. That's kind of a bummer. She was there first, you know?
Well, she's a street thug now after 15 years. Maybe it's not safe for the two cats to be around her. Maybe she's too tough.
She needs a lot of shots. A lot of shots.
Does Rosie have a chip in case she does wander away?
Yeah, she's got a chip. Yeah. But I guess I never thought about it, but I guess you need to actually physically acquire the cat and have it scanned. Like, it's not some type of homing device or GPS where you just know
your cat is.
This is
DA's cat. Step away. This is DA's cat. Step away. Please return me.
Wow, this is a great story. I love happy cat stories. Who would have ever thought a little over a year ago I would be a happy cat owner? I would have bet $1 million.
What a turn.
Yeah, all of the cat toys I've purchased, I would have bet I would have never been a happy cat owner. But here I am. Cold, bleak-hearted DA. People can change.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We were talking about Dan Campbell's press conference, introduced as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. He joined Tiki and Tierney yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio, and his now infamous clip that he's going to want his team to bite the kneecaps of the opponents. Is biting a kneecap in combat an effective way to fight? 68% of you said no. 32% said yes, bite the kneecap. Facts about kneecaps. You can actually walk without a kneecap. The knee bone is connected to the thigh bone. Babies can be born and are born without kneecaps. They develop them over time. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is considered the best martial arts technique for self-defense. That's your advanced analytics. Now, I'm getting some tweets about the Meraz video. Mikey tweets, the very end of the Meraz video is the best part. This is kind of like seeing the animals eat at the zoo. It's amazing. Hashtag, how could it happen? And Rob tweets, DA, when my wife is ready to eat something she's really craving, she does the Elmo wiggle on the potty. Now, on the potty there is very important of where it is structured in the sentence. Does she do the Elmo wiggle while she's on the potty, or does she do the Elmo wiggle while he's on the potty? Because there is an Elmo wiggle when he's on the potty, but I want to know where she's doing it.
What about Mike Iupati?
Or Mike Iupati. Okay, let's get your epic fail of the morning. And this actually comes to us from yesterday when Pete was cracking us up as we were listening to Super Dave Winthrop basketball drops. Here it is.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You hear this taco reference? That's about our show.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. We're puffy with sodium.
You better bring your raincoat.
He has a weird waist.
We got weird waists.
How about with bacon?
Yeah, that started here.
We say with bacon. We say with bacon.
If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
No, you know the have fun with your marriage guy? That's us. We do that.
Have fun with your marriage.
Straight.
all happened because Mraz didn't take the SAT. You know, because he never took the SAT and he applied to Duke and he thought he was going to get into Duke. You know, you listen to the show all the time, right?
Like stuffing.
But they had communal showers, so he wouldn't go. You know the story, don't you? Mr. Dederoff?
He's
the third most powerful guy in radio.
You listen to the show for a while. You remember Painkiller Pat? Well, he does all these cool drops, just like Super Dave does them now, too. And he does them in the middle of basketball games. We really want to play him with the show.
Waka waka.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
There's no denying that.
Well,
one.
that's the clincher.
Oh.
So
my throat hurts.
Oh man.
Beat me up. Well,
it's our ship.
We run the
See
ship.
That one.
He can't be beamed up if there's no us. We need those highlights.
Gotta sit there.
Don't you realize none of this works without the metaphorical spaceship in which you do the radio show on? You get it, right?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We were going through how I was going to ask to use Winthrop highlights during the NCAA tournament to Westwood One bosses, because we have a mandate to play Westwood One play-by-play calls. It's amazing how Super Dave's calls, the best thing that could have happened is Mraz beating Super Dave in the football picks, because last year the best thing that could have happened was Mraz losing, which got us the SAT. The best thing this year was him beating Dave, because now Dave has had to use our drops in Winthrop basketball broadcasts. Not only did we get so much content out of them when Dave did them and drops that will last forever, but now I have asked the Winthrop basketball coach to grade out those calls and had Ian Eagle consider those calls for his own play-by-play work. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, like the Jelly of the Month Club. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.